Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. My name is Lynn, and I am your co-host today. We are glad to have JR with us. JR, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Good morning, friends. Welcome.
Awesome.
I'm enjoying the beautiful day after a couple rainy days.
Yeah. It's still overcast here, but I love the rain. I have to say, I love the rain. I know people don't, and I apologize to you guys out there that don't, but it's such a healing experience for me, this good rain for a couple days. So, but I'm ready for some sunshine. I can share. So today we have on our show Betsy Thompson. I've had Betsy on the show before a couple years ago talking about two of her books. I actually have had her twice. I've had her on for her book Walking Through Illusion, which is just amazing, and also Love Parent, which was a wonderful book, and I still use today often when I am talking with parents and working with the parents of my clients that I work with in my day job. So I know she's filled with wisdom. Betsy, I'm going to let her tell her own story, but she's here today talking with us about her book, Love Human. So I'd like to welcome to the show Betsy Thompson.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me and re-inviting me.
Yeah, we had a little mishap a couple weeks ago, but that's okay. It's all in divine order.
That's true. This week, JR is here, and last time he wasn't, so maybe that's what it's all about.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's working well.
Yeah.
So, Betsy, can you tell us a little bit about your story before we get into the book?
Sure. I have this gift of being able to communicate with spirit, which I knew, amazingly enough, when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And I thought it was like perfectly natural. I didn't see anything unnatural about it. And I, after a couple of weeks of enjoying talking to my great-grandmother, who I had connected with, I shared what I was doing with my older sister, and I said to her that I was speaking to our great-grandmother, and who did she speak to? And she went absolutely ballistic, which was probably a fairly normal reaction, and teased me unmercifully for weeks, and so I stopped the connection. And then I didn't connect again until many, many years later when I was in California and almost homeless, and my life had not been working, probably because I had spent most of it blaming others for my problems and blaming them for where I was ending up. And I remember saying a prayer one night that my life certainly wasn't working, but I would start to honor the gift again, and I was willing to honor it, and I wanted to honor it, but I sure needed a job to support me while I did it. And 3 weeks later, I had a job in the entertainment business working for a man, and I worked for him for the next 18 years. In 18 years, I was able to retire. So I went from nothing to being able to retire simply because I had decided to be on my authentic self and let the chips fall where they may.
That is just awesome. And since then, part of your authentic self is writing these books where you share your experience with others.
Yes, exactly. And I believe it was really that the universe is out there ready to support us. We must come here for a reason. And if we don't honor the reason that we're here, things are not going to go well because we come here for a specific purpose and goal. And so as soon as I did honor my gift and said I wanted to and I was willing to and I would share it, the universe just said, oh, I was like, you know, Betsy's woken up, she's ready, so let's go, you know, and everything fell into place that I needed in order to share the gift.
Mm-hmm, right. And, you know, the first book of yours that I read, Betsy, which I don't want to talk a whole lot about, but I will say, for people who have not read it, I do encourage you to read the Walking Through Illusions. That's the first one I read. It was what I would consider, some people might consider a controversial topic. I loved it. I love the perspective, and I'm not going to give you guys any more about it, so I want you to read it. But Betsy's not afraid to tackle the big stuff, I think. And I believe what you had said before was that Love Human was kind of your process, part of the process that you were going through and the realization as you were unfolding into your authenticity. Is that an accurate way to describe that?
Yes, I think every book when I write it is reflective of what I'm going through, because I'm the one asking the questions and I'm the one who wants to hear the answer. But my questions have always been, I've always felt that I have the same questions that everybody has. I mean, who am I? Why am I here? What's the meaning of my life? Is there a reason I'm me and you are you? And what's it all, you know, what is this about? And I think we all have that feeling from the moment we're old enough to start to reason, we begin to have these kinds of questions. And so that's right. Basically what Love Human is about. It's about who we are, where we come from, where we're going, what this journey is all about, how the universe works, why it exists, and all those questions that seem to be so difficult or seem to be like couldn't possibly have an answer. But it turns out that the answers to pretty much anything you want to ask Spirit is all about common sense. And we live in a logical universe, so the answers to these questions are all pretty logical.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I know when we talked last week, when we attempted the show before, which was okay, I had told you that just in the preface itself, I felt like, and I still do, I mean, I just feel like the preface itself was, you know, it was pretty profound. So I knew as I started reading the book that it was just going to be great. I want to know, like, out of the book, which chapter spoke to you the most?
Well, each chapter speaks to me as I'm writing it, because that's the question I have in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the one that I think the chapter on health is pretty meaningful to me, because I feel like I have received so much guidance in terms of what good health is all about that I've been able to use the principles in my own life. And what I've heard is that there is dis-ease and there is ease. And when we have a mind that is in dis-ease, the body being reflective energy reflects that dis-ease. And so in order to heal the body, which is the reflective energy, we need to heal the mind first. And so... I've had quite a few incidents and times when I was able to use this philosophy of finding the disease in my own mind that was creating the disease in my body. And one of the biggest ones was when I came back from California and I was back in my my family dynamic, and all the old resentments I'd had from the past were coming up for me again, and I started sort of festering on resenting my siblings and what I, you know, presumed they had done to me that had been so cruel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, like we all do. And one morning I realized that I had a lump in my back, and I have a lot of cancer in my family, so I called the doctor immediately. She said to come right in, and she saw the lump, and she said, well, I want you to go in for an MRI tomorrow morning. I'm going to schedule it for you. I said, okay. So I went home that night, and I thought to myself, first thing I did was to look in the Louise Hayes book for lumps, and it all represents resentment and grudges. So I knew what the problem was, and then the next step was to heal it. So I went into a meditation that night, and a very deep meditation, and began to ask myself, If I had these influences on me, then there must have been a good reason I did, and I had to find the good reasons. And so I started realizing what these influences had pushed me to do, and what they had pushed me to do was to begin again and move somewhere else where I could figure out my own life. And, of course, that was to California, where everything began for me in terms of my gift. And so during the meditation, I began releasing them, and instead of being angry and resentful, I started thanking them for being the motivation I needed to get me where I needed to go. And as I kept thanking them for being this motivation and for being in my life and being this person that I needed them to be, I had this stream of creamy light come up all through my body. And every time I say that, I get the goosebumps, because it was such a powerful feeling. And so I went to bed that night, and I got up and I went to the MRI the next day. And the doctor said she'd call me in the afternoon, and she called me. And she said, well, Betsy, the MRI doesn't show it, but I want you to go in for more tests. And I said, well, before I do that, I have to tell you what happened. So I told her about this experience I had, and she said, well, come right in now and let me check. So I went in, and, of course, the lump was gone. And so it's as if the body says, well, oh, Betsy gets it. she gets it. So there's no reason for the lump anymore. And then it just disappeared.
Wow. That's a powerful story. Thank you for sharing that.
I know, it's
absolutely
very powerful, but you know, when you think about it, it wasn't that complicated. It was just that I had to get in the frame of mind that the lump is with me for a reason. It has a message to tell me. Now, what is that message? Because the best, if we think of our bodies as reflective energy, like everything is reflective energy that's in the illusion, because it's not real. It's just a temporary state that we're in. And so everything in it is reflecting back to us on a moment-to-moment basis. The people that we face, the messages that our body gives us, it's all about telling us, you know, what's going on in our mind so that we can get our mind healthy. You know, there's a phrase in the book I'm working on now about we wouldn't dream of eating garbage on a daily basis if we couldn't help eating it, and yet we feed our mind garbage all the time and think nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. So
and
true.
So it's about,
you know,
treating.
That rings so true. I mean, garbage in, garbage out, because that's your expression. Because you're sharing the only thing that you have.
Yeah.
So, which is scary. You know, I found when I was reading through your book that it just seemed so shamanic in your approach. I was like, okay, this is either shamanic or science of the mind. And of course, you mentioned Louise Hayes. I was like, okay, so she was probably the core of some of your personal study that brought you to your own authenticity.
Well, the thing is, as soon as I started doing this, I didn't read anything. I read Louise Hay's book before I started doing this, in my search for what my purpose was. But after I started doing this, I didn't read anything because the only way I could truly make sure that what I was coming forth with was through me and not through something I had read somewhere else. I stopped reading all spiritual books, and I haven't read any in the last 25 years.
You know, which is nice, and you can, and I sensed that in your book. There were no quotes. I didn't come across a quote, I don't think, from anyone. But it rang so true to me and resonated with me personally. I thought, okay, I get this, and this is, there was nothing that didn't resonate with me. Which was
thank you, JR. I'm so glad. I love hearing that because. What?
Well, that was going to say, because, you know, I'll read books from other, you know, New Thought Inner Community authors, and, you know, 70-80% of the book I'll agree, and then there's something that's, okay, that's just a little off, but, you know, it's okay. And I didn't have that when I read your book. I just thought, that's why the other book that Lynn mentioned, The Illusion, Living Through Illusion, I just downloaded that to my Kindle so I can look at it.
Oh,
yeah, great.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I think you love walking through illusion. It is different, you know. And Lynn, from what you said about tackling the hard stuff, I don't even, you know, what I did when I first started writing that book, specifically that book. I remember thinking, oh my God, I can't share this stuff, you know. I can't share this. How could I possibly share this? Because this was, you know, a few years ago. And then I did something really that was the biggest gift one that I ever gave to myself. I said, you know what? I'm just going to let this book evolve to whatever it is. I don't have to share it with anybody. It'll just be for me. I'm just going to let it be for me. And then after it's done, then I'll decide whether I want to share it or not. And so it took this enormous load off of me that I could just let the book be.
Mm. Well, and I'll tell you, I for one am glad that you did, because like I said, I mean, I loved that book, and I really enjoyed Love Human as well. Clearly you've got a community out there that your message is for. I mean, I agree with JR. I've read other books that, you know, it's like, part of it does, like, I have to sort through it. But for, you know, with your book, I like that. And that's one of the reasons that I love having you on the show, because I feel like, you know, your philosophy and your view and your experience is more resonant with my own, you know, not identical, but we resonate. And I enjoy that. I also like that in a lot of the book of Love Human, it's really about your, you know, and this may be too much of a simplification, but it's about changing your perspective, and it changes your life. So, you know, like with your family, you change the perspective of their meaning in your life, and you started thanking them for getting you where you needed to be, as opposed to holding you down or, you know, just keeping you back or beating you up or whatever. So you just recognize.
Yeah, I think that's really crucial. I think you've hit a crucial point, because I know that one of the reasons that my life got so dire in its my circumstances was because I had been spending all my time blaming other people for everything instead of taking responsibility for the fact that I had made all the choices that got me where I was. My family hadn't made those choices. I had made those choices. And so as soon as I decided that, you know, I was responsible for ending up almost homeless, if I had gotten myself into that sorry mess, then I could jolly well get myself out of that sorry mess. But while I blamed everyone else, I felt that I was at the effect of their choices instead of my choices. And as soon as I took the power back, then I had the power to recreate. And I think that's a really crucial point for every one of us to remember, that we can't get out of an uncomfortable situation until we realize why we got in it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's
because
true.
If you're always
that's
waiting
true.
For others to change so that you can be comfortable, you'll never get comfortable.
Right. There's too many people.
I mean,
in the world
people don't
for that.
Change to suit your people don't change to suit your growth. They change to suit their growth.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I was in the book, the chapter on imagination, which is chapter 2. You're talking in there. I made a note that do you have a difference between desire and longing? So you say desire is what pushed you to explore without this power. So desire is what will push you to feel it again. And I was wondering, because I know that, like, when I find myself what I would call longing for something, I'm not able to create it. But when I have a desire for something, I have more power. And I was wondering if you had ever had that, like if you found a difference between that, or if it's even something that ever came up for you.
Well, it didn't come up for me, but what I hear you saying, I certainly agree with. And it comes from the fact that the chapter is really about part of the chapter is about the idea that before we come here in body to be who we are, we're out of form as spirit, and we have a desire to expand and to grow. We have a desire to learn something we didn't learn in a past lifetime, or a desire to love in a way that we couldn't love in a past lifetime. From that desire that we have to expand, because energy is always in a state of expansion or what's the opposite of expansion? Getting smaller or getting bigger, let me put it simply. And so from a desire to grow bigger, we want to come into the human game to give ourselves the challenges that we believe will make our energy expand. And so, yes, the desire is there, and the desire is there, you know, once we get here. Because I remember thinking for years, what am I here for? What's the reason for my existence? Because things weren't, you know, I was just having trouble with a lot of people in my life, and things were not running smoothly. But once I found why I had desired to get here, which was to share this gift that I brought with me, then, you know, not that I didn't have challenges after that, but that certainly the universe, in response to my acknowledgement, responded to me. And so then before that, it was responding with just a lot of mirrors of who I was, because as I was blaming everyone else for my problems, and I attracted people into my life who were only too willing to blame me for all their problems.
Hmm. Right, and that's true. When you're pointing the finger, somebody's always pointing it back.
Yep. It's absolutely true. And so that's where the power resides, in realizing that we can look at things from instead of a retaliation viewpoint, we can look at it from, wait a minute, this is a gift to teach me something important about myself. This is where the focus needs to be on what we as individuals can do for ourselves to take the power back and recreate.
Okay.
Yeah, I like how you also get into focusing on how we perceive the negativity and the separation with the differences of ourselves and someone else in the situation, especially when we're not in agreement and we're allowing that to separate us from our love.
And it doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody, JR. It just
exactly,
means you have
right.
to allow yourself to disagree,
right.
you know, freely.
Exactly,
it
right.
It doesn't mean you can, you know, that was a big thing for me to learn that I could still love people and not agree with them.
You know, absolutely. What's nice is that you're seeing even the business world has unconsciously come around to that over the probably the last 10, 15 years.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's kind of exciting, isn't it, how these ideas are permeating everything. I did my first business show in the beginning of the week because the business world is turning around and wants to hear how these ideas apply to the business world, too.
Well, exactly. Well, the only true realization is for all of us is that all of our work really is about self. And if we just really stay focused on our self-healing, harmonizing, and balancing, we're healing that in the collective. So that's why Reverend Thelma Smith told me once that because we see that in our families on a small scale, and it's because by osmosis everyone else is shifting. They're either going to shift along with us or they shift out of our sphere.
Exactly,
so,
and that's what the last chapter in this book is all about. The peace begins within. You find it within, and then it manifests without. And it starts with each person, just as you said, starts with each person finding the peace in their individual life, and then letting it permeate to other people. I just don't think that you can find peace in the illusion of the world until it's found within the heart. That's where it begins, and then it reflects outwardly. You find it within, and then it reflects outwardly.
Yeah, which is the key, because we can only see that which we are. That's why we hone in on the imbalances or the negativity of others, because something in that is resonating with us. It's that mirror effect.
Yes, it's the mirror.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to, in talking, in looking through the chapter and just kind of looking at some of the notes, one of the things that I took a note for is in the transition section. And, of course, the transition section is about, you know, getting in or out of the body. But you made a comment in here. You have a sentence in here. And it says, growth is a feeling you join, not a place you go to. And I loved that, because that was just like this big bell went off. It's like, oh, this is just beautiful. I think people have an illusion that, like, happiness or, you know, even tranquility or, you know, that a sense of enlightenment is something that we maintain in every moment. And it's really about, like, we still have the ebbs and flows of life, and it's something that we just agree to be a part of, versus it's a destiny that we arrive at. So,
right,
you know,
people, you know, so often say, if only this would happen, or if only that would happen, I will be happy. Well, that you know, you have to, you take into tomorrow the feelings that you have today, and so if you are in a state of expectation today, then you take that state of expectation with you into tomorrow, and you're still waiting for that one thing to happen in the picture that's going to make you happy, and that means that you never find happiness. You have to find that feeling of fulfillment in the moment and take that feeling with you into tomorrow, which means that you have to see what is good about what you have and where you are in the moment. It's like a person who's looking for a new job because they think the new job is going to have all the answers and be the ideal place they need to be in order to feel happy and fulfilled. Well, if you can't find what's fulfilling about the job you have and what there is to learn in the job you have and how you have grown from the job you have, it isn't going to matter how many jobs you have. They're all going to feel the same.
Right, right. And I just want to say, because the show only streams live for a half an hour, but it can be listened to through Blog Talk. It will not download more than half an hour, but you can listen to it on the computer for up to 45 minutes. Before we get to the end of the streaming, Betsy, how would people find your book? How do people get this book and your other work?
They could go to my website, which is www.betsythompson.com, and From the website, I have all my social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, and my Facebook page. So you can go to all those. And all the books have a little something about them, and you just need to click on the link to order them.
Awesome.
And they're all available for your Kindle if you want them.
Yes, they're all available on Kindle.
Great. So last night, Betsy, I was actually with a group of people, and one of the people there said to me that they just kind of felt like this life had been a waste, that they were lonely. They were going through some transition without a whole lot of background. I was just wondering, because it sounds like at some point you were feeling there, like you were just lost and alone without direction. What do you say to people if they've ever said something like this to you?
I'd say that you only have the moment. You only have the moment to turn things around. You only have the moment in which you can decide you'll find something positive. You don't have yesterday, you don't have a week ago, you don't have the future. Neither of those are with you. And so you only have the moment to think something positive, to find something good about what's in your life now. It's like thinking positive is like a habit that you form. We get sometimes in our childhood or in young adults, we get into negative patterns because for one reason or another, there can be a million reasons we get into them, but we get into these negative patterns. And then they become bigger and bigger as we continue using them. So what you need to do is to turn the pattern into a new pattern. And you do that one day at a time, one moment at a time. When you get the negative thought in your head that life is, you don't know why you're here, it's useless, then you need to turn it around. And I think the fastest way to turn it around is to say, well, what can I do that has some positivity in it? And then, you know, there's nothing like a little love for somebody else to make you feel better. And so go out and do something nice for somebody. Call somebody and say something nice to them. Just that little tiny thing can turn the moment around. And then if you continue to do it, the habit grows and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and become, before you know it, the pattern of being positive becomes the norm.
Mm. That's great advice. I wish you had been with us last night so you could have shared that, but I will definitely be sharing the show with her.
I mean, there's no other solution because we only have the moment in which to change. And so if this moment is full of depression and displeasure and disillusionment and resentment, then the next moment is too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's why I tell a lot of people, you know, where thought goes, energy flows. So we're, you know, and all the power is only in this perfect now moment. So, you know, so be the vibration of that which you're desiring. You know, find a way to stay in gratitude.
I heard something this morning that blew me away for myself, because I had a relative die, and there was a funeral yesterday, and there was a lot of old feelings that came up, and about my own choices and stuff. And I heard this incredible message that said, what you did 20 years ago has no more relevance than what you did 20 lifetimes ago. There is only now and the love you can find in today.
Mm.
Oh, that's perfect.
Isn't that perfect? I mean, it just blew me away that there was no difference between 20 years ago and 20 lifetimes ago. It was all in the past.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. So I just want to ask, because I know I want to go back into that chapter on family for just a moment, and I love the way that you've titled this. It's family. Why are my relatives so challenging? Because I do think that what I find in my work, and may be true for other people, but what I find in my work is that for those that are like being called to shift family dynamics, or just to find their authentic self and not follow societal norms because it's expectation, they wind up in families that don't get them. So can you address your chapter on families a little bit and tell us why some of us come in with these families and other people come in with families that, they're just like hunky-dory loving each other, and other families are just like, wow.
I love that you asked that, because my family doesn't get me. So I think it's probably because it's the challenge we need to force us to be our authentic self, force us to be who we really are, regardless of the family. It's like if I had come through a family that was completely supportive of me, I probably would have been so wrapped up in the family dynamic that I never would have had the courage or the motivation to be who I was individually. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's the fact that I couldn't get along with by the primary person in my life for in my early years, being my mother, that even at a very early age, I realized that we had a completely different look on life, and the priorities she had weren't mine, the interests she had weren't mine, our personalities didn't mesh. But the very fact that that was true was the very motivation I needed to push me in a direction where I felt comfortable, where an direction that spoke to me. And so she was like the little gift to me to push me where I needed to go. And I think we make these plans before we get here. You know, I think you're up in whatever you want to call the place before you're here, heaven just for the simplicity of it. And you're planning your journey and you're thinking, well, this is something I need to learn. I need to learn how to really break away and be independent. And so then my mother would have popped in and said, oh, okay, I'd be a great motivation for that because I need to learn this, that, and the other. And so we make all these plans for what the picture presentation is going to be. Then when we get here, it's up to us how we deal with it. It's up to us how we react to it. It's up to us how we grow from it. But we present ourselves with the challenges we need. That's why it's so important to look at something and say, what have I learned from this? What did it teach me that I wouldn't know otherwise? How did it motivate me that if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have been as motivated? That's how you find the positive.
That's so nicely stated, too. You know, I know that you write, but I hope that you also speak, I mean, other than just on shows, because you convey your message so eloquently, and it's such a gift to hear you speak.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm not doing as much speaking as I was, but I'm all starting to go to expos, and so maybe I'll start speaking there. I don't know. I'm sort of taking it as it comes and allowing the universe to sort of show me what's next.
Great.
Instead of trying to make it happen, you know what I'm talking about, the difference between the two?
Yes, because
I'm trying not to say this is what has to happen. I'm trying to say I'm going to believe that the universe knows exactly what needs to happen, and I will just respond.
Right, yeah. The more I try to control, the less control I have.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But thank you very much for the compliment. Thank
you
very much. I do enjoy talking about the ideas, and I do enjoy sharing parts of my life that demonstrate the principles, and because I think that's what people are more interested in anyway. They want to know, well, what happened to you? And that's what I try to talk about, too.
That personal story is so important because they can read about it, but when they actually are talking to the human being that went through it, that's helpful.
Yeah. Yes. It brings it down to the human level that we all experience.
Exactly, and that's why, because stories resonate more with people because they can connect with that versus being told a truth and then having to go try and figure it out.
Right. Yes, so, I figured that out from listening to other people speak. What did I want from them when they were speaking? And really, what I really wanted to know was their own personal path. I didn't really care about is what you're saying, you know, the idea of this or that or the other or someone telling you what you need to do. It's like, what did you learn? How did you learn it? And what was your path? So try to bring that in as much as possible.
Right. Great. So, JR, did you have anything in the book that you wanted to go over? Because we're no longer live streaming. Although it is still recording, I just wanted to make sure that we had touched on things that you found poignant. I know that I kind of dominated that.
No, we hit on a lot of it, but you had your chapter on dreams and how, which actually really got into me thinking, okay, this was so shamanic because, you know, it's the illusion of dancing between the two worlds. And, you know, you always have, and we realize that, you know, a lot of our healing and self-realization is in the dream side of life. But you have all those individuals who say, okay, well, I don't dream and I don't remember my dreams. And so what do you say to somebody like that?
Ask them if they want to. If they want to remember their dreams, they will. You know, if you say to your soul, I think maybe the time has come when I can learn something from my dreams, so please help me remember my dreams, that's a prayer that gets answered.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pretty good
thing. Because usually I'll tell somebody to stick a journal by their bed too, because that'll set that intention.
That's what I did too. I did exactly that, JR. I had a little book by my bed when I was going through this stage, and I, and of course that tells the soul that you're serious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You mean it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Betsy, was there anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to make sure that people knew about the book, or that you felt was important for them to hear about?
Well, there's a chapter on prayers that my eye just ran across as I was moving over to the dream page. the chapter about prayers and what makes prayers powerful. And the book says that we have some confusion around the nature of answered prayers. For instance, when we pray for others to change their minds, change their behavior, or change their loyalties, God has no comment. And when we pray for others to be more loving, more considerate, or more honest, God has no comment, because God knows that change begins within. So the prayer that God really responds to is when you say, please help me become more loving, loyal, and considerate. That's when God rushes in with all the help that you need.
Mm.
Yeah. I was just thinking of the Hawaiian Hipono technique where the doctor actually healed his patients through himself. He actually never even saw his clients. He healed with self-prayer because he realized that it was him and himself who actually brought about the ailment in others, and needing to bring that into his environment for the healing. So he asked for forgiveness and sent love to self in the treatments, and saw the healing in the patients in the hospital as an effect of that.
Interesting. That's an interesting way of put it, because my understanding is pretty close to that, in that you can't really heal another person. You can only help that person feel the healing in you, and then want them want to have the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it just falls in alignment with the realization that this is the great matrix, and more, almost more the illusionary state, and it's the actual reality is the dreaming side of life, because we're having that effect here.
So in other words, are you saying that what we see with our eyes is the illusionary part? It's not real. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's a real part.
The real
part is what's within us.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, in other words, the outside is just a reflection of what's happening on the inside. So if you want any change on the outside, you have to change the inside first.
Right. The inner, the outer follows the inner.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that is such a beautiful
just
message that really, and we talk about this all the time on this show, of how, it really is about internal change. No matter what motivation, what modality, it's about changing who we are, how we feel, what we, what we're perceiving, and just stepping into that authenticity. I mean, that's just so nicely put, just making that change internally first before anything else can happen.
Yes, and also people can't really identify with you on a very deep level if you aren't your authentic self, because if you're ignoring who you are, pretending to be somebody else, the only thing you give to others is a feeling of falseness. I don't know how to say it. It makes them uncomfortable. You aren't being who you really are. It makes them uncomfortable. I would rather have somebody in my company who disagreed with me on everything, but was their authentic self being in that disagreement, than somebody who comes into my life and says they agree with everything I say and is really confused about the ideas.
Right. I agree with you. I'd way rather have that than somebody that's just fake.
Yes.
Yeah, I resonate more with people who are authentic, even if we don't agree.
Yes, they are being who they truly are, and that feels very comfortable.
That's so true. Because you get into those situations with individuals who don't completely show up 100% because they're holding back, and or they're, you know, or even beat around a bush with you on something because they're afraid to not be what you're wanting them to be. And it's
yes,
like, you know,
they're
what
agreeing
this,
because they think
I,
they're going to be yes.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry,
I'd rather not agree with you on everything then, and know who, you know, who I'm working with.
Yes. You can't know somebody if they aren't themselves.
Right.
It just feels like an uncomfortable situation.
Right.
It's almost like having the first date with somebody, and, you know, you're down the road, you're deciding to marry, and it's like, okay, this is the woman I dated. Because, you know, because you're putting on your best personality.
So we are nearing the end of nearing the end of our recording time. So I just wanted to make sure, JR, did you have any other questions, first of all?
No, that is, I mean, I tell you, it's been a blessing having you, Betsy. This has been great.
Thank you.
You have to come back. Yeah, and because I'm going to read a couple of your other books, so we have to have you back so we can talk generally over all of them would be nice.
Okay,
so,
well, I would love that.
Cool.
Yeah,
yes, thank
definitely.
You.
And, Betsy, I want to give you the opportunity, if you have any closing remarks that you want to make to anyone out there listening.
Okay, well, I'll just end with a little phrase that to remember that peace within your heart is really a state of mind. After it's found in thought, then it manifests in matter. So just know that you create your life, everything from the inside out, not the outside in. Don't try to make the picture change. The picture is just reflecting what it needs to be for you to learn more about yourself.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And I certainly can improve on that. So I'm going to thank you so much for being here, Betsy. As always, it's such an honor. And I definitely agree with JR. I'd love to have you back on. I just love listening to your wisdom and having you share it with us. And I know that our listeners are going to appreciate it, as they always have. And with that, I'd like to say to all of our listeners, we'll be back again next week. I'm not sure what we're doing, but that's okay. We just kind of go with the flow. And until then, to all of you, blessings and namaste.
Namaste, my friends.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.